Welcome back to the Maker Made Podcast. This is episode 45, sponsored by No Cry Gear. I am Brian, or Doggy, from Dog Custom Builds, joined by my best bud, Tyler of Westfall Woodco. And what's happening, dude?
Here's my go-to Doggy impression. Yo, 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 what's going on, my brother?
No, it's what's up, my brother.
Oh, what's up, my brother?
What's up, my brother? My nephew. What's up, my Doggy?
Oh, dude, I should have queued that up.
What's happening? Happy Friday. This is February 24th, Friday.
Yeah, super weird situation for us these past 2 weeks. Technically, this is our second podcast recorded this week. You probably won't hear it until next week, though. It's going. It's going well. Things are good. Things are looking up. You know, I had some down time, if you will, and just bringing it back, you know, getting back into the rhythm. Getting the swagger back, I think is what I said last episode, and keeping it rolling. Got some very, 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 very exciting stuff that just recently happened that unfortunately I don't think I'll talk about this episode, but definitely on the next one.
Off air.
How are you doing, brother?
Good. It's been a good week. It was a short week because I had Monday off for George Washington's birthday. And
R.I.P.
R.I.P. in peace. I finished up my knife today, which was exciting. Like, I've kind of been in that weird no commission state, or no order state for most of January and into about halfway through February. Had a bunch of orders come through this past week, so that was exciting. But I noticed that a lot of times that doesn't get me back into the excited mode as much as doing new projects. So I got this bread knife hardware. For those listening, you can see it on my Instagram, but I'm going to show Ty.
I was wondering, there's got to be a better way that we can share what we're talking about mid-episode. I don't know. We got to think about, I mean, we could obviously post.
We could just record video.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think everyone, even with, you know, normal other podcasts, not everyone watches the video. But I think we got to like post some more stuff on Instagram, you know, well, just pictures of things we talk about during the episode.
Well, I think we can record video, and then when we export the podcast to Spotify, we just export as audio only, and we can post the audio video to YouTube.
I like that. Well, it's still like kind of a, but it's going to be a relatively lower quality recording. I don't know. We can work on that. But sorry, you can continue. Yeah. Knife looks sick.
Regardless, this is, I don't know what the species is now that I'm thinking about it. Bacotti. Charlie supervised me making this knife just about the entire time, but that's my last time since he's not going to be in Memphis for super long.
Yeah. So do you think that our weekly Charlie mention is going to go away now? I think it officially will.
No, I think he's going to continue to converse. But this ended up being really cool, and I texted him saying, I got Bacotti. And I think he said something to the effect of like, oh, so you like pickles. And I was like, what? This wood, when you sand it or cut it, it smells like pickles. And I thought it was a joke. I thought it was, even today, I hate pickles too. So that
I hate pickles as well.
I was sanding it and I was like, oh my God, that's it. That's what I peel off of my burgers all the time is this wood.
That's the worst when you order a burger and it comes with a topping that you didn't want, especially like pickles or tomatoes, and it just leaks the juice everywhere and you can still taste it.
I don't mind the tomato. Pickles, gross. Or like mayo. You just got to throw out half the bun if you got mayo on there because that's just nasty. hate mayo. Hate most salad dressing. But whatever. Neither here nor there. That was really fun. He gave me his old Rikon belt sander, so I'm going to start making some of those knives. I have verbally committed to take my talents to the Collierville Fair in the Square in May. So I'll be going out to do one more craft fair. Mainly is Charlie will still be here. So I'm going to borrow his tent and tables. And
oh, nice.
That'll kind of negate that initial, that startup cost, if you were. And if it works out well, then I'll continue to do them again. But I just have so much inventory and I figured I got plenty of epoxy to pour. I got plenty of stuff to bring. So it'll be a fun, hopefully a fun trip.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And I'm excited. Yeah. And I got coasters and the clamps. I clamped them yesterday and it's today. And I still haven't taken them out of the clamps because I'm not a psycho. So tomorrow I'll plan them. We'll go from there.
I'm gonna act like that shot wasn't directed at me because don't want to get into that. But yeah, that's pretty exciting. So I mean, I'm curious what, because I don't think the last time we talked about markets or fairs or whatever, you were not in the best of attitudes towards them, but you seem to be rejuvenated. Is that because it's been long enough that you forgot what the experience was like, or do you have
the pain
a new
is worn off?
Okay, I just want to make sure that was really it, or in case there was something that was different about this one that you were more excited about.
No, so that was actually really funny, where Charlie called me on the phone the other day, like Tuesday, and he was like, he's like, are you still going to do Fair and the Square, even though he pulled out? And this is the one he did really, really well last year, because I had told him no, like months ago, that I wasn't going to go with him. And he basically said, I just saw dollar signs. Like, if I don't have to compete with you in the same tent kind of thing. But I called the lady and asked, since Charlie applied last year and I didn't, I was just an add-on. Mm-hmm. I asked if I had to apply as a return vendor or a new vendor, and she said just do return vendor, you can get the same spot, same everything. So but I went from that phone call started with no, why would I do a craft fair one without you, like what, by myself, and then mm-hmm. two, with the results of the last year's one, to on that same phone call ordering 80 bottle opener coaster hardware, knives, stuff to finish knives to bring to the thing. So it was a quick change. It was more, again, to spread word, make a few sales. Mm-hmm. I did get some good word of mouth sales through that. So, well, yeah.
Should be cool. I think I'm going to hold out my hope for you. And then we will obviously reconvene when it concludes and see how we feel about it and see if you hate yourself again for doing it.
Our Mother's Day episode. That's the thing. So this craft fair is the weekend before Mother's Day, which is May 9th, I think, is Mother's Day this year.
Checks out.
Which means Father's Day is June. I don't know when in June. So we know those mothers are buying the Father's Day gifts in May because they're always on top of things. And we know those fathers are buying Mother's Day gifts the weekend before Mother's Day. So this is like the perfect, window.
I like
last
that.
Year was on Mother's Day. So that kind of took away from it, but we'll see. I think it'll be good. It'll test me on my own.
Mm-hmm.
Just the same way this was my last supervised knife. My next knife is all on my own.
Uh-oh.
So it's kind of that crawl, walk, run. We'll see how it goes.
We'll see what we see. Kind of segueing in from that, I had, just in terms of unique opportunities, if you will, I had a person reach out and see if I wanted to make an item to donate to donate mm-hmm. to them to raffle off for a event they're putting on. It's a cornhole tournament for a sports team. And they're trying to raise money, you know, for equipment and all that jazz. And I was like, that's a cool idea. Like, I could obviously very easily make a cutting board or something, you know, small. And then I kind of got a wild itch and was like, oh, maybe I should like just go balls to the walls on this thing and try something I've never done before. And I ended up landing on one of those brick and mortar cutting boards, end grain cutting boards with the little thin strips between that looks like brick and mortar or whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, this sounds like a really cool idea. And then I was kind of like thinking like, that's going to be a pretty good amount of wood, and I don't really necessarily want to put that much money into it because, you know, it's going to be like an inch and a half thick, and it's going to be all end grain. It's got a lot of waste and all that jazz and a lot of labor too. And then I kind of thought to myself, let me see. What if my connections I have out here to Woodworker Source, which is a lumber and tool supplier out here in Phoenix. I think they might be in other states too, but definitely out here in Phoenix. Called my guy there, the store manager there, and was like, hey, I'm doing this raffle item. I was curious if you would ever consider hooking me up with some lumber to pull off this board. No hesitation. He was all about it. Loved the idea. Was all, you know, he said, let me know what you need, essentially. I'm going to be doing a sick maple and either Paduke or Bloodwood, something with like a nice pop to it. The Paduke or Bloodwood would be the mortar strips, you know, because you need very little material of that.
Like a reverse one, like a white brick and red mortar.
Kind of, but it's going to be... Wait, did I say maple? I meant walnut if I said maple. It's going to be walnut and Dubuque. Okay, got it.
Oh, it's going to be like pretty dark.
It'll be a dark board for sure, but I think the contrast between the Paduke and walnut will still be pretty sick, I think. I don't know. Yeah. We'll see what we see. I kind of mocked it up and have thought about it, and obviously, thank you, by the way. I don't think I ever thanked you for helping me with those calculations while I was driving. That worked out very well. So that's something fun on the horizon here in the next week or so that I'll be diving into. It's been a long time since I made an end grain cutting board, and I've never made specifically a unique set upon pattern like this one will be. So it'll be a fun little learning curve, I think. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, those ones are always, to me, the way I said, like getting my mojo back, like getting my mood back with like these new projects, those are the ones that are the projects that do it for me. Like, the ones that take a little more calculation, take a little more like thorough thought behind like the woodworking process that kind of get me excited about it. But yeah, I did a raffle board back when I was still at my cousin's. But it was for Relay for Life. I did maple and Purple Heart cutting board. Purple Heart because purple is the color for Relay for Life, and then 4 bottle opener coasters to go with it for their raffle. So yeah, that was one of those things that it was like really not a huge investment, but it's going to a good cause, so I'll do that, throw a couple business cards in with it, and if I get business off of it, great. If not, no big deal. It went to a good cause.
So. Exactly. And that's kind of the mindset. You know, I'm obviously not doing it for personal gain. They did say that they would do some kind of, you know, promotion through Instagram or whatever, you know, at the event. I don't know if they'll have a banner or logo sign or something. But yeah, it should be cool. And I mean, it'll work out good too, because I truthfully do think that some customers could come out of it, maybe. But I don't know. Obviously, yeah. I'm doing it more so just for the donation, and it should be a fun project for me. Like you said, work on that inspiration struggle I've been having, and just have some fun, you know, trying something new. And obviously, saves a ton of stress not having to pay for that material, because that exotic stuff is not cheap, obviously.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun. Definitely. That's something exciting I got coming up. Oh, and then to jump off what I talked about last week, you remember when we were talking about the CNC table and outfeed table situation? I ended up, I think that same day we posted that episode on my Facebook group of Arizona Makers, someone posted a really nice metal table structure that was, a dream of an outfeed table base. I guess he welded it up himself, and he was moving some stuff in a shop and couldn't keep it. It's 4 foot wide by 9 feet deep, and I could not fight the temptation not to get it. So, going back to what I said about, I think with the CNC table, we decided that I'm going to keep the Craig table assembly that I have and building cabinets for it. I'm going to do the exact same thing for this new outfeed table that I have. And that's kind of what I'm going to roll with. And it kind of goes hand in hand with that exciting news I was saying earlier. I'm still not going to talk about the nitty gritty of the details, because we've got to make sure things are solidified first. But yeah, so that's exciting. I'm really excited to dive into that. That'll probably be here in the next 2 weeks, I would say, as well.
Nice. I'm excited to see that evolve without sharing too much of the details. I just cut myself playing with this knife.
And just like that, Doggy's out of the knife making game. I'm going to leave that in, or you're editing this one. Oh my lord. Doggy just sliced his finger about a little 3/4 inch slice.
Oh, man. Gosh.
This just in. Knives from Dogwood Custom Builds are indeed sharp.
And they come with blood, sweat, and tears. Well, this one's for family, so that's okay. Wow, that thing zipped right through me.
So, projects currently going on over here in the Westfall Woodco shop. I've talked probably multiple episodes on this 5x5 or roughly 5x5 tabletop I was building, or table I was building with a base. Got it all finished up. Client came to pick it up, and they were like, "Hey, I think that this is too small." And I was like, "No, it's the you know, the measurements we talked about, like
this is what you asked for.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking like, it's definitely within like a 32nd of an inch in both directions, 'cause it's a square. And she's like, no, like, I think that we want to go bigger now that we see it in person. And I was like, well, that's really unlucky. It
doesn't really work that way.
Yeah. But I was like, I mean, I can make it wider. And they're like, okay, like, just let me know how much. And I mean, what's funny is this client originally wanted an exactly 5x5 square table. That's originally what they came to me wanting. I quoted the job. They thought it was too much. And I said, well, I mean, you know, there's some workarounds we can do. And I just so happened to have some extra material that was just under, I think it was like 55 inches. And I had enough materials, or they're 55 inches in length, and I had enough of these boards to make it 55 inches wide as well. So basically, what is that math? Is that like 7 inches smaller than 5x5? And they're like, that's perfect. You know, it gets us to the cost range that we want to be in, and everyone's happy, whatever. So made the table, obviously. I did have some hiccups along the way, but, you know, we got it pulled off. They came, they loved the color, and then they just, you know, dropped that bomb on, I think we want to go bigger. So I have a new task with this table of making it wider, and that's going to be happening here in the next day or two, actually.
Nice. Well, not nice, but, you know.
It doesn't really matter, I guess, because, I mean, I'm still going to be paid the original amount, and I am charging extra, obviously, for modifying it. I'm just glad that I don't have to totally remake it. I'm just going to essentially add breadboards on all four ends. That'll extend it out, you know, basically 3 or 4 inches in each direction, which will get us to just over that 5x5 point. And then I think that everyone will be all happy with it. It's not that they weren't happy with it. It's just that it'll be better utilized, I guess. I'm so upset that they didn't measure this out beforehand, but you know, I never turned down an opportunity to make a little more cash. It just sucks having to undo some of the work that I already did. You know what I mean?
So yeah, what's the final, not the final price, like number wise, but like, would they have just been better off going with the original quote for the original size?
It's literally like, it's a little less than the original quote. So okay. They definitely should have just rolled with the original one, to be honest with you. They would have got the table faster and exactly what they wanted right off the bat. And she, you know, some laughs were exchanged about it, and they're in good spirits, and they, you know, realize that they probably should have just stuck with the quote.
It's funny that you mentioned that, like, measuring it out, because I have a buddy that's in, like, Oceanside, California. He's in the Marines. I think he was a mechanical engineering undergrad and then did some other type of electrical engineering for his master's. Super nitty gritty details where he was looking at he just bought a bandsaw and he's building a workbench. And you look in his shop because he FaceTimed me yesterday to show me. He goes, I think I want to get a drill press. This is where I want to put it. And he's got like tape on the floor to like show like the orientation of the shop.
Uh-huh.
Like, everything in that shop has this perfect fitting space. Like,
hell yeah.
I aspire for that. My stuff just floats around. But yeah, it's crazy that and I started doing that. It's like, what size kitchen table do I want? It's like, okay, I'm gonna put some painter's tape on the floor and see if this makes sense. Because sometimes that's like the quickest way to be like, oh wow, I did not think this through. Couches and furniture, you know, coffee tables.
Speaking of painter's tape, when I first moved into this current shop/garage that I'm in right now, before I moved anything in, that's what I did, is I taped out a ton of stuff on the ground with blue painter's tape. And for the most part, everything came true and was exactly where I intended it to be, except for I taped out a miter station. And that, one, never came, and two, the tape is still on the ground in my shop.
Yep.
I could have pulled that up like a year and a half ago when I sold my miter saw.
No, sir.
Oh, geez.
That's pretty funny, though.
Yeah.
I don't think I have any tape on the floor. I don't, at least in this shop. It's so much bigger than the old shop. So I really have the ability to just like wing it. Like, I'll just put this planner over here. I don't have to tape it out first. If I don't like it, then I just change it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you had all of your big tools already when you moved into this place. So it was all about just putting it in a manner you liked. And that, what's funny is I freaking love my shop layout. It is perfect. to be completely honest with you. I could be in it forever. I just could be more comfortable, if that makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
I guess that sounds kind of stupid to say because it makes it seem that my shop is currently not perfect. But in reality, it really is. And I am my own biggest enemy in this because of, like, I have two tables off to one side of my garage that are mobile and portable. And I just have them stacked with, like, I have scrap wood all over one. I think I sent you a picture of the scrap wood sitting on that table just yesterday. But if I were to just not have that, I would be in much better shape in terms of, you know, being able to wheel that bench out and set stuff on there when I'm actively working on it, not just using it as storage. So that's something that I could be better about. But something in the future is coming that's going to make that a lot better.
To me, that sounds like a bigger shop. But yeah, that's awesome. And it's definitely, I mean, it's obviously... in a bigger space like mine, moving from a small space to a big space, it's like you have so much flexibility in where things go. And the only downside is everything that's stored on my walls now is further from my, you know, outfeed table and table saw. Mm-hmm. So if I need glue, it's like I gotta walk all the way to the other corner, right? Like first world problems.
No, I have 5 extra strides I need to make.
Yeah, so like mid glue up, you know, more places to lose tape measures. I still can't find one of my fast cap tape measures.
It's driving me crazy. I am so happy with my tape measure situation currently. I think I probably have like 9 in my shop right now. And I finally caved and I just threw one in my truck just to keep it in there at all times. I don't know why it took me so long to finally do that. But just in the past like 2 weeks of doing that, my life has been so much better and saved so many times by not forgetting my tape measure when I go to the lumber yard or go to a client's house or whatever. I don't know why I didn't do that first, but yeah, all those fast cap lefty righty that have 16 footers and 25 footers. You really only need 16 footers. But I freaking love those things and I got them everywhere. And I may misplace them, but good news is I got like 4 backups. I got one in my outfeed table, one on my table saw fence. I got one by the CNC. I got like 3 up on a shelf on my little French cleat wall. They're everywhere.
I think the most I had was 3 of the lefty righty in the Imperial measurements. And then I have the 1 metric because I have the, my laser engraver is metric. But I lost one for sure. I think one got soaking wet and I think I pulled it out actually. I was measuring too far and I just yanked it right out. Mm. And then I didn't have any this morning. I couldn't find it and it was in like my screw drawer in the bottom, like totally not where it belongs. And I can't find
it. How did that get there? Who put that there?
Who are you? And so I'm missing one still, and it's got to be in there. But yeah, I like having one in the car too. But that's pretty productive week overall. I do have I'm going to do another YouTube video. So I made a 4-in-1 epoxy charcuterie board form.
Ooh.
I sent you those some pictures. I want to post about them. Mm-hmm. Probably early next week. And let's see, where was I going with that? So that was really productive. I used some threaded inserts to make it reusable, because in the past most of my epoxy forms have just been one and done and it's kind of wasteful. So hoping that helps some people with that process. But yeah, just trying to keep the productivity flowing here because it comes and goes in waves. I'm feeling good. I got to get those coasters started. I get those planed and cut and ready to go. But just excited. Feeling excited again, ready to go.
Seeping
blood. Yeah.
Speaking of being excited, I used a new tool in the shop. I've had it for at least 2 years and I've never touched it. I guess it's a jig, not a tool, but a jig can be a tool, I suppose. It's made by Craig, and this is a totally free promo. I wish it was sponsored. But I used their drawer pull jig. And have you ever used that before or seen it before?
drawer pull jig.
Yeah, so it's like a jig to help you lay out and drill the drawer hole holes, the mounting holes. Oh my gosh, dude, that was, I don't know why I hadn't used that sooner. One of those charcuterie boards I was working on last week, that was about like 30 inches by 8 inches, a live edge Indian rosewood slab board with a little epoxy inlay. She wanted drawer pulls on it, which I have never had really good success with. And I had this jig and I just swapped it and dusted it off at the perfect time and got it all set up and read the manual for like 30 seconds and put it to use the way it was supposed to be. And oh my gosh, dude, that thing, I just want to do drawer pulls all day after I used it.
It's Ben from Lostwood Creative shared one, and it was it's like $9 on Amazon, like a plastic one. I haven't seen the Craig one, but that one is made it super easy. I shared that with Charlie because he does the epoxy charcuterie boards. But I'm gonna look up the Craig one now because.
Yeah, definitely worth checking out. And I mean, it's just, I literally could not believe how easy it made it in terms of layout and actually drilling the holes and just the different uses and the different markings it had on it. Those guys, they freaking got it figured out, man. There's a reason they're as popular as they are, because they got it figured out with all the jigs they have. I mean, I got a ton of the stuff in their shop, from the, you know, the Craig Foreman to the more basic pocket hole jigs to drawer slide jigs, drawer pull jigs. What's the other one? Oh, like those Euro style hinge. I have their jig as well for that, which I'll be using here soon as well. I don't know. I was just super impressed with it, and I really wanted to share that with you because it was exciting and it made my life easier, which is invaluable.
Yeah. We'll have to share a link here in the show notes so anyone can go if they're interested in making their lives easier with drawers and drawers, drawer pulls. That's the way to go.
And also, Craig, please sponsor this. Please, 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 please go tell them.
What's what bandsaw blade do you use, to not to change the topic?
Brand? I think mostly I use Timberwolf, I believe is where I've been getting them from. My last two times I ordered blades, although I really have never replaced. I've only had to replace one before. Because it got like bound up. Yeah. They're really inexpensive. They got some really good deals going, and they got, I mean, all kinds of blades that you could imagine.
Well, I'm in that boat where I need to buy a new bandsaw blade, but I'm tired. Like, I've bought is Timberwolf and these quarter inch. I mean, they're quarter inch blades, but they snap all the time. So getting pretty irritated with Timberwolf.
Do you have a thought that maybe you're just setting it up incorrectly, perhaps? Is that a possibility?
I mean, if it was a one-and-done thing, I've been on Grizzly's website talking with customer service, and I'm following the steps that they're telling me, and I'm getting... Yeah, I've snapped three of those. I've snapped three. My buddy snapped one on my saw.
Jeez.
So I don't know.
Timberwolf is a very reputable brand from the way I understand it. Is it possible that you're, I would definitely look at the blade tension first. That would probably be the biggest issue that there could be. And I know I forgot to set it one time, but I've never snapped a blade before, and I do some pretty gnarly stuff, especially with my templates and whatnot.
I also hate my bandsaw, so I want to talk back with Laguna and see if I can get a discount on one of theirs and sell mine. Because I am very much over my bandsaw blade. We shall see. We shall see. But yeah, that's my excitement. Oh, I got to figure out. I got that epoxy river table I want to pour for my dining room. A kitchen table, dining table, whatever you want to call it. I got to figure out what kind of legs I want to do for it. I have not decided.
A little metal base action, or you want to make something?
No, I think I want to do metal. But I don't know. Like,
it's just so easy buying a metal base and throwing it on.
But what I'm saying is, like, I don't know if I want to do a, like, the, what not, what's the shape? Like, the trapezoid. The inverted trapezoid, do I want to just do like a pedestal type base? Is that even feasible? You know, just trying to figure out what I want to, you know, how I want to do it.
I gotcha.
So we'll see. I'm ordering some Timberwolf bandsaw blades.
I gotta believe it's something with the setup. I would definitely just next time you get in there and maybe do a quick little tune-up if they got any videos out there. I know with my Laguna 1412, they have a YouTube series of step-by-step how to set it up completely. Mm. And I mean, usually on a monthly basis, I watch the segment of like setting the guides and all that jazz and changing the blade.
Yeah.
And it really helps, you know, with obviously if I'm ever resawing or doing anything where it requires some serious accuracy. Obviously, rough cutting is no big deal, but with resawing, there's a serious level of accuracy needed, and I definitely do my best to make sure I do my part. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've spent countless freaking hours doing that crap. So, again, long run plan is to upgrade. But if I'm going to do these knives, I have to resaw knife scales, and I need something that works right now. And the bandsaw is a 0.03 inch blade thickness, like the kerf.
Mm-hmm.
And my table saw is like just shy of an eighth, so I can't be losing an eighth of an inch every time I make a cut for a resaw. So right. I need to use the bandsaw. Back to your original thing, where, or not original thing, but said a couple weeks ago, the like, I would just love to pay somebody to come and just tune all my tools.
Dude, and what's so funny is like a normal person or a smart person would be like, oh, that service does not exist, so I will make that service. You know what I mean? But I hate doing it, so I could never possibly do it. I mean, like luckily I've with the bandsaw, I've gotten that figured out pretty well. The joiner, I recently had to suck it up and spend like a couple hours on getting everything dialed into like the tightest possible calculation I could. But like there's some things like with a planer, I have never even tried to do that, and luckily haven't had an issue with that. But I don't know how there's not someone out there. Like I would pay, I mean, you could easily make like $30, $40, $50, $60 an hour tuning up tools, in my opinion.
Oh,
like
yeah.
in your city, and you know people would be all about it.
The you'd almost have to just charge like per tool at that point, but
maybe
my planer. Okay, yeah, that's why. Also, with my bandsaw issues, why I'm leaning on it being a machine issue is because my planer, I've tuned that thing for hours, and I get snipe on the sixth inch on the way in and the sixth inch on the way out. Hmm. And a lot of it, I call customer service. Their solution, which I told you, was when you cut your project, make it 12 inches longer than it has to be, so you can cut off the snipe. I'm like, that's not the right answer. Like, that is not the right answer.
I'm so very thankful I've not ran into an issue like that, because that would frustrate me to no avail. Does that have to do with your tables, you think? What are you adjusting?
No, it's got to be the bed rollers. But I've adjusted them in both directions. I've fine-tuned them. I've changed them for softwoods versus hardwoods, and still get it no matter what. So
interesting.
I just don't even know where to go with that one.
I should just burn the whole shop down, honestly. That seems like the best way to go.
Well, the one I really want is the Hammer A331. It's the joiner planer combo. It's got some good German engineering. And again, that's kind of in the long run, because likely I will not be in the large shop that I'm in now forever. So I need to make sure I don't get too comfortable in a big shop. And one way to shrink my shop footprint is to have a joiner planer combo. So, right, combine those two mm-hmm. footprints into one. So I'm kind of looking at maybe in the next like 2 years selling my joiner and planer and buying one of those. But I know they're back ordered so far. So,
oh, really?
Can't, yeah. Took my buddy like 9 months to get his. So that's pretty crazy to me, because it's just stuck on a tanker or whatever in a ship in LA in the harbor.
That's brutal.
So anyways, that's a different story for a different day.
Are we gonna wrap up?
I think so.
Break her down.
So to close out episode 45, I want to do another quick thank you to No Cry Gear. No Cry Gear makes safety work gear that you can trust, which I should have been wearing my No Cry Gear gloves. I wouldn't have cut my finger earlier on this episode. But really, they do make some awesome PPE for professionals, homeowners, and DIYers. No Cry Gear, thank you so much for sponsoring February, three episodes in February for the Maker Made podcast.
Mm-hmm. And you haven't already, if you haven't already, please go check them out. No Cry Gear. Thank you so much once again. And on that note, I think it's time we peace out of here.
Peace.
Peace.